Well, thank you, ladies. And I know if you're a believer here this morning, you are maybe in your heart just saying, thank you, Lord, for your peace through finding Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and the peace with God that takes place at that moment, but also the peace of Christ as you've journeyed through your Christian walk and just you've experienced that peace that is beyond human, the ability to verbalize it and explain it. You just know it's there. And so we can say thank you, Lord, for that. Genesis chapter 46, we're going to kind of finish the journey here as it relates to the book of Genesis, but also the life of Joseph, and now going to emphasize the life of Jacob this morning as he's being called to make a big move in your life, a big change. Have you ever gone through a big move in your life? In January of 1998, our family moved from Kansas City, Missouri to Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. We packed up our three young children in between a Taurus station wagon and the largest Penske truck that we could get. And my wife and I and our three young children and our Manchester Terrier named Peanuts packed into those vehicles and made our way across and didn't leave much behind. I think we left a metal storage shelf and an old garden hose. That's about all we left and took everything else we had and arrived here in January 1998. Just a number of just gracious and loving people helped us unload that truck into the home that God provided us for us. And so that was our privilege. But that was a big change. I'd grown up in Kansas City, Missouri, and that's all I really knew except for the 4 years that I was away at college. My wife was from New Jersey, but yet she had lived there for a number of years, a few years prior to us getting married. Her only sister lived there and still lives there. And just for some of you that may be new, my brother is married to my wife's sister. So two brothers married two sisters. And so there was that unique attachment there. And so we made that big change and made that big move. And maybe you've gone through something like that. If you're part of our church family here, Robbie and Kristen Ascension are sitting right here. Okay, wave your hand so they can see you. Okay. They met in college. Robbie was a student at a Bible college that he came there for the purpose of training for the ministry. He had to then go back based upon their agreement as a college and institution as it relates to the payment of his education. His commitment was to go back for 5 years at least to his country in Manila, Philippines, and serve within that local ministry after receiving training to help him and prepare for ministry. Kristen grew up in this ministry. That's all she'd ever known except the 4 years that she was away from college. After college, she came back here and taught for a period of time as Robbie fulfilled his obligations. And then they got married here, and then just shortly, how many days after you were married, or weeks, they had 3 weeks after they were married, they left here. Kristen left here to Metro Manila, Philippines. And it was a big move. It was a big change. 8,485 miles. Okay? And that was just one of the many changes. And they have a lot of stories, and they can smile about them now, but during the time, there was more tears than there were smiles. And Robbie and I and Kristen and Joy and I have talked about that. And so if you are a young couple or you're going to be married soon, and as a matter of fact, we have four young people getting married on the same weekend in May. Okay, Megan Allen and Ryan Belga and Jeremiah Banish and our son Jordan, all of them getting married the weekend of May 20th. And so that's going to be quite a weekend. But if you're a young couple and you're going to experience change or may have to move to a certain location, I would encourage you to just avail yourself of the counsel and wisdom of Robbie and Kristen during that. They may not have all the answers because there were times in that period that I don't know. Okay, you just have to let God get you through those things. But yet, sometimes God calls us to move. He tells us to go. He brings change and he dictates change into our life. Well, last time we were in Genesis chapter 45, we saw this amazing reconciliation between Joseph and his brothers, a reconciliation that was over 20 years in the making, which seemed an impossibility because of all that had happened and all the time that had passed. But we saw that amazing reconciliation. And we saw in Genesis chapter 45, as Joseph revealed himself, he did so compassionately. He finally revealed himself and says, I am Joseph. And remember, they just couldn't speak. They couldn't even say anything. They were so shocked of what was presented to them. But Joseph compassionately revealed himself to his brothers. And then we saw that he explained the divine purpose, that all the things that have happened over the last 20 years were God's doing. They surely felt bad and guilt because we saw the guilt awakened in other chapters. But he put them at ease and said, listen, all the things that have happened has been a result of God's divine purpose. And then we saw that what resulted was this loving unity that these boys and brothers had never experienced in their lives. But as Joseph hugged them and kissed them, and there was this loving unity that took place. And then after that, we saw that royal provision of Joseph saying, listen, I'm going to provide for your journey back. You're going to go back and get your father, and I'm going to provide for your journey to come back here to Egypt. And when you'll come, don't worry, don't bring anything. I'm going to take care of everything. And we saw that, just that royal provision. Then we saw the new life that that Jacob experienced. For 20 years, he's just been a very sorrowful man and a very anxious man awaiting his death. But now his spirit was revived when he received the message that Joseph was alive. And so we've seen this progression through these chapters, chapter 42, where this guilt was awakening in their brothers' lives. And then we saw that through Joseph, God showed his goodness and grace to these brothers and began to turn their hearts to repentance. And then we saw that true repentance in chapter 44, where they admitted that they had sinned against God and they were willing to take responsibility for it, even to abandon their own self-protection. And then, of course, last week we saw reconciliation. And all those steps really does parallel what happens in the life of a believer, of a person, when they come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There's this awakening of guilt. There's this God's goodness and grace as he's revealed to us the person and work of Christ. There's this true repentance of turning to God from our sin. And then there's that reconciliation that takes place through faith. Well, now we have this prospect of a new life for Joseph. And it presents with it the prospect of joy of seeing his beloved son Joseph again. But there really is the prospect of fear as well. For Jacob to make the decision to move his entire family from Canaan to Egypt is no small decision. He's just been told the incredible news, of course, that Joseph is alive and it revives his spirit. But yet, the question maybe in Joseph's mind would be, should I take my entire family there? In Genesis chapter 26, verse 2, God had told Isaac not to go to Egypt. We also saw that Abraham did go to Egypt, but when he did go to Egypt, it just resulted in a lot of trouble and hardship. And both of those times, for Isaac and Abraham, were during times of famine. So it makes sense that Jacob would possibly pause when there was the opportunity to go to Egypt. Okay? Would the family survive if they went down? Would they, his family, over time, be absorbed into the pagan culture of Egypt? Would Jacob even survive this potentially long and unsettling journey? He probably knows in the back of his mind, if he leaves Canaan, if he leaves the promised land and goes to Egypt, he'll never set his eyes on Canaan again. And some of you know what that move is like, right? So change is hard for all of us, is it not? Especially as we get up in years, it becomes more difficult because it makes us feel insecure. And our natural inclination for most of us, not for all of us, some of you are very adventurous, or some of you grew up in a military family, so you get a 2 or 3 year itch every 2 or 3 years, and you're ready to move. But for most of us, when it comes to big changes and to big moves, our natural inclination is to stay put. And so Joseph had a couple of options. Stay here in Canaan and deal with the difficulties of the famine, or deal with the new difficulties that he'll face there, possibly in Egypt, even in the prospect of seeing Joseph again. So how will Jacob know what to do? And how do we know what to do? How do we embark on major changes in our own lives? And Genesis 46 is going to give us some instruction on that. So let's read verses 1 through 7, and then we'll skip over to verse 26 through 34. And Israel, or Jacob, took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob and their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. Verse 26, all the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons, wives, and all the souls were 66 persons, or 66 people. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70, or 70. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell upon his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh's house, show Pharaoh, and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade shall be have been to feed cattle. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. And so here we see that God is calling Jacob to make a big move or a big change in his life. And that's what we see here. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit here, this big move that that Jacob is being called upon to do. And as we make big moves in our lives, or as we go through big changes in our lives, what's important? How do we know that God is really leading us? How do we stay on track? And so that's what we want to look at this morning. As God calls us to make big moves or big changes in our lives as well, how do we know that God's leading? How do we know that we're going to be able to stay on track? And we're going to look at just a few things here this morning, and pretty quickly. We're going to see, first of all, that when we make these big moves, we need to make worship a priority. In verse 1, we need to make worship a priority. In other words, before we do anything else, as we embark on a big move or a big change in our lives, before we do anything else, we need to just simply take time praying, seeking the Lord to make sure that our relationship with Him is what it ought to be before we make that big move. Secondly, in verses 2 through 4, we need to trust God's word, or we need to trust God's promises. And God's going to appear to Israel and share with him some specific promises upon which he could rely as he embarked upon this journey. And then after praying and after trusting God's word, thirdly, in verses 5 through 6, we'll see that we need to commit completely to the journey. Commit completely to the journey. And that's what we'll see. Jacob is going to leave all that he had. He didn't leave one person or one thing behind in Canaan as he made this move to head back to Egypt to see Joseph. Verses 20 through 30, number 4, we'll see that we need to anticipate the blessing of new or renewed relationships. Okay? While it's a fearful thing to embark on this journey, the fact that he is going to see Joseph again and this relationship is going to be renewed is what's going to spur him on in this difficult journey. And then in verses 31 to 34, in arriving into Egypt, it's important that Israel and his family remain distinct from the Egyptians. In other words, as they entered into this pagan culture, it was important that they remembered that they still belonged to God. And so that's the things we're going to look at this morning of as we embark on a move, a big move, God telling us to go, that we make sure our relationship with God is what it ought to be. We are trusting His word and promises. We're committing to the will of God completely. We're anticipating new or renewed relationships, and we're seeking to make ourselves remain distinct in the world where God places us. Well, the first thing that we always tend to do when God tells us to move is that we must prioritize worship. The foundation of all of our moves. Verse 1 says, "And Israel took his journey with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father." So he's just gotten the news. Joseph is alive. Joseph says, "Bring the family here. He's going to take care of us. He's a ruler in Egypt." And so he begins to make this move. But as he begins and embarks on it, he stops and he goes down south to Beersheba and he offers sacrifices unto the Lord. The name of that city, Beersheba, means the well of oath. And it's kind of a significant place. That's where Hagar cried out to the Lord as she was cast out from the family. And the angel of the Lord met her there and gave her a promise that God would take care of her mercifully and graciously. This is where Abraham lived after he was tested to sacrifice his son Isaac. This is where God confirmed the Abrahamic covenant to Isaac in Genesis chapter 6. And so Jacob offers sacrifices to the Lord before he embarks on this journey. Charles Spurgeon states a number of reasons why he would have possibly offered sacrifices in his worship. One of them was to purge his household from any sin as they embarked on this journey. You see Job doing that in the book of Job, offering sacrifices on behalf of his children, lest his children had sinned against the Lord. And so he possibly could have done that, just offering these sacrifices on behalf of his family. He also could have offered those sacrifices to give thanks to God for his preservation and the fact that Joseph was still alive. Or he also could have just been seeking the mind of God as he was moving forward on this journey. So, a lot of times when we embark or consider some change or some move in our lives, sometimes the problem we find is that we kind of get bogged down into sort of strategizing that move. There's nothing wrong with planning. The Bible talks a lot about that. Okay, before you build a city, or the book of Proverbs talks a lot about that. But a lot of times we're strategizing things that we want this move to take place this way or to this place. See, and we get bogged down in that instead of spending time seeking the Lord's face about that move and about that change. You know, not a one of us here this morning could really make any real significant change or move in our lives the proper way apart from God. See, we need the Lord. We need to seek the Lord in those moments. And when God does make his will known, when God, through his word and through other people, makes his will known to us, we need to commit to that completely, as Jacob will here. So worship is critical. Some of you know the radio Bible teacher, pastor, theologian James Montgomery Boyce. He was the pastor of Fifth Presbyterian in Philadelphia and has written many commentaries. He said this: "Many Christians are confronted with change, and they suspect that God may be leading, but they never pause to ask him whether he is or not. And as a result, they often go off in a wrong direction and waste precious years of their lives." So we may have the sense the Lord's leading us, but we need to make sure we pause and worship the Lord and seek the Lord about that situation. We see Jacob here, Israel in his latter years. He offers these sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac, this same God that has been faithful for generations to his people, to Abraham and to Isaac, and has now shown his faithfulness to Jacob, the same God that has been so faithful through all the changes and all the difficulties that he's faced. And now he's giving these promises of faithfulness that he's going to show to Jacob and to Israel. You know, Jacob's life had been filled with a lot of conflict and struggle, especially the last 20 years. Some of the verses we've read here talked about his gray hair and going down to the grave in sorrow. So the last 20 years of his life has been filled with a lot of anxiety. But here we see that God's blessing him. You know, sometimes when we get up in years, and I'm up in years, and some of you are up a little bit more than I am, but yet as we get to those latter years in life, a lot of times we treasure, and we should treasure, those sweet memories of loving devotion to the Lord and his blessings in our lives. But now, even in his old age, and we see it throughout the scriptures, God is still blessing Jacob, even in his old age. Psalm 71, verse 9 says this. It says, the psalmist prays this, and he says, "Lord, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." Verse 17 says this, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." Even in Jacob's old age, God is leading him. God is blessing him. I don't know if you have a favorite hymn. I've had about 3 favorite hymns during the time that I've known the Lord as my Savior for over 40 years. The first one talked about the peace of God that these ladies sang about. "Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase." And talking about the peace of God. And then I kind of moved from that to "Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart." And so that was my favorite. Right now, my favorite's been for a few years is "He Leadeth Me." "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Where'er I go, whate'er I be, I still know that God's hand is leading me." And so God leads us. God continues to lead us. And so we see that in Jacob's life. So we have to remember that God's blessings are not relegated to one part of our lives. We want God to do great things now, but that same God that's going to do great things now is going to do great things in the years to come as well. And so when God says move, you must make worship a priority. Make our relationship with God a priority in those times of move or change. Verses 2 through 4, when God says move, we must trust God's word. Trust God's word. God shares promises with Israel here. And the word of God is to be our rule of faith and practice. And tonight we'll talk about that in our Bible study, about being governed by God's word. And so, as I mentioned earlier, think about that in your own life. And so God spoke, God has spoken, and everything rests on that. Think about it. If God hasn't spoken, we have nothing to base our lives on. And if God has spoken, but we're ignoring what God has spoken, we have nothing as well. Okay, we have to look to the Word of God. And He hasn't left us in the dark. Okay, we have the advantage that Jacob didn't have. We have the advantage of God's revelation, God's Word written to us here in the pages of Scripture. God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us understand the Word of God, to help us to be convinced of the truth of God's Word, to lead us and to empower us. And so we have the Word of God, and we need to trust His Word. Jacob needed to trust God's promises. Here he doesn't cry out, "Israel, Israel." God calls him Jacob again. Kind of goes in and out here. Kind of to remind Jacob of his deceptive past. But now he has this, God has graciously intervened in his life. And he now has this personal relationship with God. Bound up in God's covenant for his people. He didn't deserve it. It was just a result of God's goodness. We don't deserve it. All right. In our lives, but again, God has just been gracious and good to us. And so we don't deserve the blessings any more than Jacob did. But yet we are bound together in Christ. So God says to Jacob, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Jacob. You're taking your entire family, you're going on this big journey. Don't be afraid." Why is God always asking that question? Okay, or giving that command, "Fear not, don't be afraid." Because we're afraid a lot. That's why. It's our natural tendency as we go through changes and difficulties in our lives to be fearful. And so Joseph may have asked, as the Lord said to him, "Be not afraid." What normally is our response when God tells us something? Sometimes we say, "Well," Jacob could say, "Well, why wouldn't I be afraid? It's a long journey. It's my entire family. It's Egypt." Okay? And so God responds to Jacob's fears with three great promises. And here's the promises that God makes to Jacob in these verses here that he shares with him. He first of all says, I will make of you a great nation. I will make of you a great nation. Okay? In other words, God will not abandon the covenant promises that he's made before to Isaac and Abraham. Okay? Yes, you'll go down into Egypt, but you will not only survive, but you will also thrive, because I will make of you a great nation. The second promise he says, I myself will go down with you. Okay? In other words, the presence of God. And the presence of God, folks, can make any strange land or any strange place home. Wherever God may place us, wherever God may move us, we are not safe because of where we are. Safety is of the Lord. But we are safe because of who is with us where we are. That's the key, right? Who is with us where we are. And God told Jacob that he will go with him. That wonderful New Testament name, even mentioned the Old Testament, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. We say God with us, but really, you know, with us, God. And so the presence of God in our lives. And so amidst all the fears, trials, uncertainties, the sense of caution that we sometimes have when we're stepping out and following the Lord, then if we know that the Lord is with us, as God promised Jacob that I will go down with you, we can anchor our souls to that in the midst of that change. That God is with us. God is leading us. God is directing us. And then the third promise that he shares with Jacob is, I will bring you back again. I will bring you back. He's leaving Canaan, going to Egypt, and God says, listen, I'm going to bring you back again. So that sort of answers the question of whether Jacob and his family is going to be absorbed into this pagan culture of Egypt. He says, no, I'm going to bring you back. You will be preserved. You will come home again. And God has promised that promised land to his people time and time again. And so he'll be able to spend the rest of his life with Joseph and after all these years. And so when God moves us, we need to prioritize worship, our relationship with him, but we also have to trust his word. And then thirdly, when God says move, we must commit completely to the journey. So when God says move, worship, prayer, trust God's word, trust his promises, but we also need to commit to the journey. In verse 1, we're told that Jacob took all his journey. He took his journey with all that he had. With all that he had. And verses 5 through 27 list out all those things that were part of this vast and long journey. We read 5 and 6, and Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives, in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. Okay? So when God says move, you know what's the will? When God says move, pack up and go. Don't make provision to turn back. If God says go and you know it to be the will of God, then go with all your might. Oh, yes, it's difficult, but we go with a commitment to that journey. It's interesting that these 70 people are all there is of Abraham's promised offspring after 215 years. It's been 250 years, that 10, 15 years since God said to Abraham that, you know, your seed shall be as the sand of the seashore. Well, 215 years later, as Jacob goes into Egypt, he has 70. Okay, 70. Okay. All right. But I think there's some things that we can remind ourselves of. Okay. Because in over 400 years, they will go from 70 to over 2 million. Okay. Over 2 million. And so we don't need to be discouraged by slow beginnings. God often is just simply laying the groundwork small to accomplish and do great things in his time. And so on verses 7 through 27, all these names are listed of these real people, these real lives that matter to God. And so does your life matter to God. every aspect of it, every detail, every struggle, okay? God is working together his plan that he's bringing to pass as it relates to your life. And so when God says move and we know it to be the will of God, we need to commit ourselves completely to that journey and follow him. And then fourthly, when God says move, we must anticipate the blessings of new or renewed relationships. Okay? Jacob had sent his family to Egypt twice for food, but now he goes with all that he has, in large part because Joseph is there and Joseph has told him to come. And so this, again, what's happening here, I've mentioned it before, but even this journey has significance to redemptive history, right? God's preserving a people through whom the Messiah will come. But this journey is very much important, has significance as it relates to Joseph personally, because he's going to see Joseph again. We know what it's like to travel and see family, right? It's important. It's significant. And so it's personally significant for Joseph, for Jacob to return to see Joseph. And it just reminds us again of God's good and compassionate heart for his people. Sometimes we fear to make moves because of the things that are special to us that we fear to lose. Okay? Moving here 24 years ago, as excited as we were, and as much as we were convinced that it was the will of God, and as much as we committed to the journey, leaving only behind a metal shelf and a garden hose because we couldn't fit it into the Penske truck to take literally all that we had, okay? As excited as we was, we were losing something. We were leaving something behind, okay? And as I mentioned, you know, Kristen, she is leaving all she knew behind, all that was familiar to her. And so we see that here with Joseph. We fear, sometimes we hesitate to make those moves because of those things that we possibly will lose. Well, as we follow the will of God, God blesses in many ways. And God blesses with relationships that are significant in the midst of those changes. And here, God even gives Jacob the encouragement there in verse 5, and Joseph shall put his hands upon thine eyes. In other words, Joseph's going to be at your side when you die. That special relationship you'll experience until your death. And so, to follow God on a major shift like this is hard to do, and God knows that it's hard to do, and God gives Jacob this encouragement, and he encourages him along the way. Our lives will not parallel Jacob's life in every detail, but God often brings us together with brothers and sisters in Christ to make a new place as home and a new chapter in our lives of great personal blessing. To kind of finish the story of Robbie and Kristen, as they went there, Robbie was the assistant pastor of this church that he grew up in, and Kristen was the pastor's wife of the assistant pastor, Robbie. And the couple that was the senior pastor they were serving under, Pastor Gary, had helped found that church. He was an American missionary who married a Filipino wife, okay? And so that's the dynamic that Kristen was working in and trying to be accepted into that culture and learn the language and learn the culture and build the relationships and those types of things. And so at some point, Pastor Gary retired and Pastor Robbie became the senior pastor and Kristen became the senior pastor's wife. So it just totally flip-flopped, okay? But they love her, and she loves them, right? And God did that. In the midst of that big move and big change, with all its difficulties, fears, anxiety, tears, sorrow, anger, whatever it might have been, as we commit in our weakness to that journey, God in his grace and mercy allows us to develop those new relationships that are a source of encouragement and blessing and growth in our lives. If God calls you to break ties in your life or you were where you are, you will make new ones in the most unlikely places. Jacob had hoped for years that Joseph would return to him, never dreaming that he would go to Joseph. Okay? As it relates to relationships, we never know what is truly your last day, when your last day is to be close to a person. Sometimes we think it's over and it's not. When I got the phone call that my brother had had a massive heart attack, one of the first thoughts I had in my mind, how will my relationship, if I have one, will change with him? Just a spontaneous call. Ron's had a heart attack. Okay? Sometimes we think that we have many years, but we don't. But for the believer, there is one great truth. All our partings with fellow believers are temporary. That's the great truth we hold on to. We will serve God forever in the life to come in sweet reunion and that continued relationship. Then lastly, when God says move, and we arrive at that destination as Jacob and his family did, we must remain distinct. We must remain distinct. And Jacob and his family must remain distinct from the Egyptians. In other words, as we make those big moves into a place that may be very challenging, some of you, it may be a workplace, a work change, or something like that. As God moves you to that place, you have to remember that to remain distinct. In other words, remember that you belong to God. Okay? There's a problem going down to Egypt. The problem is Egypt is a pagan country and one of the dominant world powers. And so I'm sure one of the questions that Israel or Jacob had in his mind was, how will the children of Israel live there for over 400 years without losing the faith of their fathers? Legit question, right? A legit question. How long is over 430 years? Well, if we did the math, that would take us back to 1592. That's how long. That's about the time of Jamestown. Okay? That's a long time to maintain your faith generationally in a pagan land, to maintain your distinctiveness. And there was one way that God was going to do it, and it's found in verses 33 and 34 of Genesis chapter 46. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall see, will say, what is your occupation, that you shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even unto now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. How does God help them maintain their distinction? He places them in Goshen, that area of land just east to the Nile Delta there. And that's where he places them. And so in Goshen, they are going to thrive. In Goshen, they're going to remain separate from the pagan Egyptians. And in Goshen, they're not going to forget their identity. And so we see that. Joseph, when he dies, before he dies, made them make a promise that they would take his bones back to the promised land of Canaan. And the children of Israel did exactly that. Okay? They became a nation that was strong and ready to enter into the promised land. And so wherever you go, make sure God is the one who sent you there. Whenever you go somewhere, make sure that you have God-sized reasons for going or for what you do. And when you go, remember that you belong to Him. You belong to God. And we should live all of our lives that way wherever we live, through all of the changes of life. That we as well as Jacob did pass his faith down to his children and to his children's children. So when God says move, make worship a priority, trust God's word, commit completely to the journey, anticipate new relationships, and don't forget that you belong to God. Okay? And so the question for us this morning is, what is God doing in our lives? And are we sure that God is doing it? If you belong to God, you need to understand how God works and how God leads. And so the questions we have to ask ourselves is, do we have a relationship with God? Are you living life according to your own understanding and your own will or God's ways? We have to ask ourselves that. Because if we choose to live according to our own ways, it'll be disastrous. We need to let God lead us. Will you trust Him and His word? Are you paying attention to His word? Are you committed fully, or are you holding back something in your life? Are you trusting Him for new blessings wherever He may lead you? And as you go, will you remember your God? You may never have many changes. We used to have a charter member here named John Hostler. The story is told, and some of you that knew him well, that he never left the state of Pennsylvania in the 70-something years that he lived. Rarely, I think, got out of the south central Pennsylvania area. I don't, and maybe the closest he got is maybe close to Maryland. Okay? Never left the state of Pennsylvania. That may be you. God will plop you down in one place, and that's where you'll stay the rest of your life. But there's still going to be changes in life. Still going to be changes. A new neighborhood, a new job, new circumstances, new situation. So when God says move or change, what's going to be your response? Well, make worship a priority. Trust his word. Commit fully to that journey. Anticipate new blessings from God as you go. And then wherever God leads you, remember you belong to him. And that are some important points as it relates to our walk with the Lord. Would you stand with me and we'll close in prayer today. Father, we thank you so much in your word that gives us assurance of your purposes and plans for us being good. That you are the God that is working all things together for good to those that love you, to those who are the called according to your purposes. We thank you that, Father, you promise us that if we acknowledge you in all our ways, that you will direct our paths. We thank you that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall and though we fall, we shall not be utterly cast down because you are with us and the Lord upholds us with his hand. So we thank you again, Father, that you have given us this great salvation that is related just to our daily lives and where you have placed us in your sovereign will and your constant care for us. Father, help us to go with an awareness and a fear of God, being constantly aware of your presence and seeking to please and honor you above all. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Have a good day.